Okay, let's get going. We have a lot to cover this hour, as we always do, when Jeff and Erica get together. Erica Kahn is standing by, as she always is. Are you there? Can you hear me all right, Erica?
I can hear you, Jeff. Good evening.
Good evening to you. We'll see how good it is as we progress here, but there's a lot going on, and it really has to do with the media. This has been as much a media construct as it is a real global genocide. And we've watched this from the beginning. It's almost 2 years now. And we've been reporting on it for nearly a year here on the program. And I'm going to go through a list here of some things. I think all of you will, oh, I remember that kind of thing when you hear it. And there was an article that came out, was it yesterday, the day before? I guess we're going to get to, and we really want to put this in front of you and ask all of you to think about what's going on out there and how are we all being played and played and played again. There's no end to it. And when you own the media, and I mean the alt media too, most of it, it's not hard to do. We've seen more things come down the road than I can count, Erica.
It's amusing, if nothing else.
Amusing for openers. It should be an abject lesson for everyone to try to understand how the media is used to control the sheeple. And it is a masterful job that they've been doing. With what an array of strange people are manning the posts on both sides of the street, though. It's wild. Before we get to this paper, I thought I'd just do a little quick review of what we've been through. Not all of it, just some of it, to give you an idea of how we got to where this paper is. When you read this article, what did you think? We'll get into the title of it in a little bit here, but what were your thoughts when you saw this title? It was a whopper.
Another, in my mind, a bit of sensationalism, you know, exploiting the ignorance of the general public in terms of their scientific background or their ability to understand new technology and what's coming through a needle these days. But it's sad, too. I just, you know, what passes as science. It's almost like, you know, you just start with a framework and you fill in the blanks and anything goes.
I think you're right. Well said. What is science now? In terms of the media and science on an interfacing basis, what is it? Science is almost Marvel Comics now. It's whatever the deep state wants, and they have endless terms and endless words that they throw out there designed, and I think AI is involved with this. I don't know to what degree, but we do know that they plan all these things out very carefully.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, some of this borders on bizarre, but go ahead.
It's totally bizarre. It's totally bizarre. Now, I want all of you to think back. Let me just do this. And it was kind of fun just to think about it and line these things up to see what we've been through and how many times we have been given through the alt media or the mainstream media. It didn't matter. This is the answer. This is the big one. We now understand what's being done to us. That's what they want us to do. And unfortunately, this has been too successful too many times. They've done it. So here, if you remember, the entire COVID plandemic was staged for what? For one reason. To frighten the masses into rolling up their sleeves to be injected with the extremely well-planned, sophisticated, and deadly bioweapon shots known as falsely known, I should say, as vaccines. The trickery and the fear porn, think about it all, that was rolled out and dumped on us nonstop, beginning almost 2 years ago, has been really witness to a myriad of fraud and MSM-driven stage prop after stage prop after misinformation after disinformation and utter and overwhelming fraud. That's what we've been fed. Think about that. Now, also think back to just a few of the major and the minor ploys that were thrown at us and the sheeple all around the world by the MSN, MSM, and by what we used to trust much more, the alt news. We can't do that anymore. Probably 85% of the alt news is run and owned, created and operated by the deep state. Just think about it that way. Trick after trick after trick were ruthlessly pounded into the consciousness of the masses by the media. Think about how many there were. I'm going to name a few of them now. Ah, they want us to think, we found the truth. This is what it's all about. This is what's causing all the trouble. And then there was something else that would pop up a few weeks later. They kept changing the stage setting over and over. I can't even remember them all. The first big one may have been, now some of you will remember this differently than I do, but the first big one was probably 5G that got the most play. Remember? It was going to turn everybody, it was absolutely going to turn the masses into zombies. Remember? By triggering something in the COVID virus. Never mind that 5G hadn't been fully rolled out by then, and it is still not fully rolled out on the planet. So it couldn't have happened for a variety of reasons. But that was going to turn everyone into zombies. That was the explanation. And it got a lot of traction. People were talking about it. It made a lot of rounds in the alt community and even the mainstream community. They talked about zombies. Then there was a discovery of something called graphene oxide, which had a big media run in the beginning. That was a big one. Graphene was the newly discovered monster replaced 5G. Go ahead.
I think before that we had the magnetic issue.
I can't even remember.
Which I guess we still have, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, that still needs to be explained.
That's true.
And we don't know if it's the graphene. We don't know if it's iron oxide nanoparticles or something else.
No.
But that came, and then the graphene came on the heels of the magnetic, super paramagnetic nanoparticles.
I don't have enough time to go through all of them. I'm just hitting the high points. There's too many. It's been crazy. And they come back for reruns, encores. That's the particular part that is interesting to me, how they can dredge these things back up, reanimate them, and push them back into the spotlight. So we had
without
graphene
ever even
oxide.
Without ever even adequately explaining them or drawing any conclusions for it.
Nothing.
It's just a whip up hysteria.
We spent a lot of time trying to explain to people that we don't know enough about graphene oxide yet. It was too soon to rush to premature conclusions. But what did people do?
Well, they have visions of razor blades.
Well, we're getting there. They rushed to premature conclusions. They said, it's graphene oxide. It's a terrible graphene oxide. It went round and around and around. It was the monster that replaced 5G, you know, and other things. There were lots of them, big, little. They kept a flow going. Now, in just the last few weeks, graphene oxide terror has been resurrected by them and pushed back into the spotlight to keep the pot of chaos boiling. We've got graphene oxide back again, don't we?
Yep. Or this time it's graphene hydroxide, which is really a misnomer. It should be hydroxylated graphene.
Nah, too tricky for people. You got to keep it simple. Or the AI says, keep it simple. Keep it simple. This is the reemergence of graphene oxide or hydroxylated graphene. Did I get it right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good. This is how they do it, though. They bring these things back. They reanimate them. They put them on the shelf, just like they do with some of the media docs and media figures. They put them on the shelf for a month or two. They kind of give them a new coat of paint. Then they bring them back. This is the same thing they're doing with graphene oxide now. So the graphene oxide shtick is back. But let's not forget about the mysterious and dangerous sounding word. Remember when they introduced the word, this was just a term, hydrogels. Remember that? Everything was hydrogels for a while. So, what's a hydrogel? Who knows? You know. How many of you listening know what a hydrogel is? Really? Not many. It's another interesting term that I think was put out there intentionally to, again, pull people one way or push them another.
I agree.
Those evil hydrogels. That was the message. Then
yeah,
just
it was.
A couple months ago. Yeah. And then just a couple months ago, what do we have? We had the Happy Hydra hoax, which perfectly fit the science fiction Marvel comic mentality that was and still is dominating much of the anti-vax alt news world. The Hydra horror. That was a big one. It took off like wildfire.
And, well, the sad thing is that it just, you know, these are nothing but distractions from, you know, what's really happening with these vaccines. I mean, it just, it takes the attention off of facts that we can substantiate. And the other components that are real, the real culprits in these things are the nucleic acids, the DNA, the RNA, and what they're doing to your genetic code. This other stuff is, it pales in comparison to
background
the real
noise.
Weapons here.
And what has come and gone many times? The worst thing, the real thing, the spike protein.
Right.
Right? It was dominated.
Right.
The Happy Hydra, what's a spike protein? It was gone.
Yep.
And Erica was the first person that I know about in any media anywhere to explain that the Hydra was, first of all, not a parasite, and secondly, it was a contaminant. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that was my first instinct, you know, knowing that the production process is oftentimes far from perfect. It's supposed to be completely sterile in the case of injectables. I know it's not. There's repeated examples over the years of that it's not. And that would be the most likely explanation for any sort of microbial life form appearing in these vaccines. And not necessarily at the point of use, but during the production process. I mean, it's a multi-stage process where contaminants can be introduced along the way and not purified out as they should be, particularly in this case. Number one, because it's being rolled out on a grand scale with minimal oversight and no liability.
No responsibility, no accountability, no oversight, nothing. Nothing.
So my take on it is, you know, that has to be the first consideration, and then that has to be ruled out before you want to entertain these other, you know, rather bizarre ideas.
Sci-fi. Okay, so the Happy Hydra, after Erica exposed it as a contaminant, and while we waited for hundreds of other scientists to send in their photos of Happy Hydras running around in vials of bioweapon vax, which we saw none of. So the Hydra went away. But it didn't. It just went away on a short hiatus, right? And they waited, and now it's been relaunched. We'll get there in just a moment. It's back. So it didn't go away all the way. These people don't miss a trick to get the most mileage they can out of these little mini screenplays they put in. No talk
Correct.
About spike proteins, hydras, graphene oxide. I just go back and think of all these things. We have been played, as I said in the beginning. It's sickening how it works, but that's how it works. Okay, then a couple of weeks ago, we had that video from Germany of the PhD who assured all of us that atomic-sized, one atom-sized, was it stainless or silver? It was steel. One atom-thick steel razor blades were coursing through the human body, the circulatory system, and slashing the blood vessels, the capillaries, the arteries, to a bloody pulp.
That's this was the graphene oxide part two, or graphene hydroxide, as he termed it, which was incorrect. But yes, that was the latest. That's still, I would say, prevalent. But I think we pretty much debunked that last week.
Well, we're the spoilers, it looks like.
Yeah.
Ruining all their plans. Well, it's okay. It's what journalism is supposed to be all about. What gave that story about the, I call them atomic razor blades, special traction was that the scientist who presented it in that video was allegedly murdered for revealing the secret. And we've gotten at least three, if not four, different modalities of his murder since then. Now, I hope the guy's alive. I don't know if he's dead or alive. And the latest one I heard was he was hit by a... Do you remember this? Was it a satellite beam?
Yeah, by a dew.
That's right. It. They stopped his heart with a dew, a directed energy weapon. It killed him. But then we heard that the police had gone on stage when he was giving a presentation and kicked him to death. And then we heard he was, I guess, outside and he was attacked and beaten to death out there. Look, the whole thing was just, it had no closure, as they like to say. So it's open. So these horrifying nano-atom-sized steel razor blades are supposedly hard at work 24/7, turning the insides of the bodies of the vaxxed into just big bloody goo. And how many other scientists, Erica, who have access to electron microscopes and similar, have been able to confirm even one alleged atomic razor blade that you've seen?
None. Again, people are not understanding nano. I think we should probably put up that video again of how small is nano.
We will.
The 1 minute video that, I mean, these things are tiny.
Okay.
And they are, you know, the hydroxylation of a flake of graphene is actually going to make it more biocompatible than it would be on its own. And these planar shapes of carbon, six carbon rings, they're prevalent in many, many biomolecules on the molecular scales. And if they don't go around ripping up your endothelium, that's happening from something else. I'm not saying it isn't happening, but it's not from the graphene.
Well, we think it's spike protein to a very large degree is what's doing it. Clotting. And
there's many components to these vaccines that can provoke that kind of response in the body. And I went over those in one of our programs last week.
Hemorrhages. Right.
These nanoparticles will interact with proteins in the blood and then start this coagulation cascade that can cause the blood clots and can cause the endothelium to become leaky or inflamed. If it starts producing spike protein and your immune system begins attacking the endothelium, all kinds of things can happen. I mean, the list is endless. This is when you're dealing with nano and injecting it into people in this way. You're going to have these kind of responses rather predictably, but I think there are more concerning things in there than the graphene oxide or hydroxide that's actually made to be actually quite biocompatible, either in the form of polymers, the PEI or the PEG or the lipid nanoparticles, so they're encased. So they're not coming in direct contact with the cell membranes. Or they are, in the case of the hydroxylated graphene, they're water-soluble. But you've got mRNA in there, foreign mRNA, that's probably provoking some of these reactions. You've got the cationic lipids that may be causing some of these reactions. The adenoviral vector is known to cause coagulation issues.
Which nobody talks about.
Correct. The list goes on and on. You know, to think that graphene is the smoking gun here is extremely naive. I can't emphasize that enough. And it's no, it's
it's the Hydra. I know. It's the Hydra. The Hydra
done. Well, you know, injecting microbial life forms can provoke that kind of reaction too, an inflammatory response. But you know, this idea that it's a Hydra, then it's going to survive coming through a needle and taking up residence in you somehow is also absurd.
A saline residence.
Right.
Okay, let's get into this paper here. Oh, before we do that, the newest wrinkle in the Marvel Comics horror show, this latest effort now to frighten everybody into thinking that they're doomed, well, maybe that's true, I don't know, is that HIV/AIDS is somehow involved in the new COVID viral infections. They are actually testing for HIV-COVID infections now. It never ends.
Yeah, we touched on that, was it Friday?
I think
maybe
so.
Maybe it was Wednesday.
Time flies. It's all just such a mishmash of stuff. And my point, and our point, hopefully, and you'll all understand, is that this is all coordinated. These things aren't just happenstance. They don't just fall into the public eye and the media. All the things that we went through here, this is planned. All planned.
Yeah, I think the HIV thing is convenient at this point to be talking about this as part of the spike protein or apparently there's a sequence in there that's going to be, you know, if you produce the spike protein, you're also going to produce this sequence that's associated with HIV. So when you have an antibody test for HIV, there's a possibility you're going to come up positive, which, you know, if you're one of these people that received the injection and your immune system is starting to fail, they'll tell you you have HIV. Couldn't be the vaccine. You have HIV.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I think is behind this.
Misdirection. Again, it's all about misdirection. So we've mentioned hydrogel and Hydra and the fact that the Hydra was supposedly a parasite, which it is not. It's just a freshwater animal. I'm not going to identify the author of this. I'm going to read the headline in a little bit, and then I want Erica to give us her take on this. Here's the headline. The DARPA hydrogel-hydra parasitic connection. Now that's a word salad of terms that we've all heard and have been put together in a title here to try to kind of, wow, gee, really? The DARPA hydrogel/hydra parasitic connection. Sounds pretty satanic to me. So here, let me just run down a little bit here. Here are some subtitles. Hydrogel Hydra Parasite. Remember, Hydra is not a parasite. Remember that just right off the bat. Hydrogel Hydra Parasite called Medusa to feed off of your body's life force and your body's fat. Number two. Or do you want to comment on number one? Go ahead.
No, keep going.
Do I have to? All right. Configurable digital entities. Here's another one. Now, this is a word I'd never heard before. Invaginating soft robotic entities into humans. Here's another one. Stop that laughing. Nano root like tentacles suck out 5,400 times their weight of moisture. A nano root like tentacle of this hydrogel hydra parasite called a Medusa is theoretically going to withdraw from your body 5,400 times its own weight in moisture from your body. I hope it doesn't go after your life force or your fat. Gee. And another one. Get this one. Vampire jaws of death. It's an article. I don't know if I can do any more of this. Come on. It's feeding off your life force and your fat and sucking up 5,400 times its own weight on your body's moisture. You're going to be a dry, dead prune by morning.
Well, I don't even know where this is going. I mean, I assume this is some part of the transhumanist agenda. And maybe they're working on things in the lab to do stuff like this. This is not what I'm seeing with this bioweapon. And I think we have to be clear about that. The most I think they would be doing right now with this deployment is testing the materials for biocompatibility. That's it. If you're going to start trying to introduce this type of technology into humans, wouldn't you want to observe them a little more closely instead of just haphazardly, randomly deploying them across the globe and not be able to ascertain what they're doing?
Correct. The point of this was not written by a PhD scientist, okay? This was written by a media figure. We'll leave it at that. An alt-media figure. I mean, I hope that a hydrogel hydroparasite called a Medusa doesn't sneak into me and start feeding off my life force and fat.
I'm not sure. The hydrogels are they're polymers. They're synthetic polymers that can interface with your biological tissues. I mean, that's the whole beauty of these hydrogels is that they are biocompatible and they serve a number of different purposes.
They've been around for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah, 30, 40 years, yes. Yes, and they're continually advancing them to make them more biocompatible. I haven't seen that they are being used with these particular vaccines at this time, these injectables. I mean, these lipid nanoparticles, I suppose, could be a type of hydrogel. And they could be carrying certain drugs or magnetic nanoparticles or graphene nanoparticles, which are conductive. But, where this is going with this idea of parasitizing somebody's brain, with hydrogel, I'm not sure. I can't comment on it.
I'm not worried about my brain. I'm worried about my life force. How would you define life force? And how is this hydroparasite, which is not a parasite, called Medusa going to eat someone's life force up? Never mind their body fat.
Well, I think it just shows a lack of understanding of physiology. And creating a framework and filling in the rest with some fantasy.
It's getting crazier out there. That's the other problem. How about this one? I got to go back for another shot at this one. Invaginating soft robotic entities into humans. What the hell does that mean? I mean, what does any of this mean?
I'm guessing that means some sort of a biosensor. We can use this material for biosensing, but I'm going to stop at that. I can't entertain this.
No, it's too crazy. Okay.
Nobody is being upgraded right now. They're being slaughtered. So let's...
People are being annihilated. Okay?
Yes.
That's the
point.
Yes, and
it's these topics that's, take away
that's
from...
All we, yes. That's all we should be worried about. A little article like I just alluded to, and the things I mentioned earlier and we talked about, this long list of things that have been thrown at us, have all been done intentionally. You've got to keep that in mind. No coincidences, no accidents. It's all by the plan. Now, here's a scientist, and I'm going to play this again, and I know you've heard him a couple times, but this is Dr. Shankara Chetty in South Africa, and I want you just to listen to the first 2 minutes. He's going to talk about the most important aspect to date of this whole attempted annihilation of much of the planet. Here's Dr. Chetty.
Need a combination of drugs with pharmaceuticals to manage these patients. There's a lot going on.
Something new. My question is, do you...
Okay, let me move it up here.
Understand what the aim is. Everyone knows that there's inconsistencies, that there's fear-mongering, that there's coercion, but we need to understand why. Why is that there? Now, the most important thing I think for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated a coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
Got it? That's science. That counts. That's important. All that other crap I went through is being abused, misused, we're being disinformed. It's a con job. And I think the whole damn game plan was put together over many years and certainly is being monitored in real time by AI. That's me talking, I'm guessing. But Dr. Chetty just laid it out there.
Yeah, that's what you need to focus on, not this other stuff.
Now, there was another piece that I wanted to play, and I mentioned it to you, and it's Dr. Charles Rogers. Rogers?
Morgan?
Sorry.
Charles Morgan?
Yeah. Charles Morgan.
This is actually
here.
Having one animal.
Okay. Now, if you can tell us anything, if you remember, this is Dr. Charles Morgan on psychoneurobiology and war. He's addressing West Point. Dr. Charles Morgan, anything you can add to this?
Yeah, and this was, I think, was it 2010 when he was
Oh, it was at least three or four years ago.
And, just talking about where we were at that point in time or what we could do in terms of manipulating the brain, behavior, neural networks. So, yes, there is that technology to do that.
All right. Now, let's listen to this. Now, this was not a public address. This was a private presentation to it's only 2 minutes long. It's been edited. But you need to listen carefully to this. This counts, too. This is real science. This is, I believe, 3 or 4 years ago. You may be right. It might have been 8 or 10. But it's been a while. So take a listen now. Dr. Charles Morgan.
By having one animal learn something and seeing and recording that activity and put it into the sensory cortex of the second animal, and that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain, you can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventnor's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called DREADs. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product, as long as you know the DNA sequence, You can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. It may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains. Just people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat.
Okay, that's science. That's what we need to worry about. Not this PAP is an old term for you that's being constantly thrown at us in the controlled alt media.
Yeah, I keep saying that the thing people need to be concerned about is the RNA that's being injected into people. What is it coding for? They tell us the spike protein. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's that and something else. But if you can't shut that off, and it looks like that may be happening, at least in some people, the outcome is not going to be good.
We are having to come to terms with something that is, here's at the, I think, maybe at the bottom line of all this. We're having to come to terms, all of us, with something that is incomprehensible. And that is the genocide of much of humanity on this planet. That's the hard part. Now, that's deep. Up at the surface, what do we have? Turn on the internet and start watching BitChute videos, watch the Stu Peters show, watch Alex Jones, watch it. I'm not saying that they're presenting all bad information. I'm just saying beware and take care before you fully embrace something. Don't rush to judgment. That's why I ran down that list of things at the beginning. It just hit me about a half an hour before airtime. I should make a list just to try and illustrate how they are playing us.
It does seem to be a lot of sensationalism that is not constructive and not productive for either educating people or protecting them from what's happening and about to happen. Realistically,
how are people to determine for themselves, and we've got the vaxxed around two-thirds and around one-third unvaxxed, and I don't care which side of the street you're on, but if you've been vaxxed, it's going to be doubly hard for you to admit that you're part of a genocide program that is underway. That's really almost impossible for somebody to have to accept that. And yet the unvaxxed can see it much more clearly, and I grant that, oh, they're home free, at least that's how they look at it, but they're not, because then we go back to what we have talked about so much on this program, and that's shedding or transmitting, which is tragically more than real.
Yeah, it is. And what they are discovering about this virus or the bioweapon, be it the whole virus or just this piece, this toxic spike protein.
Right.
I mean, the Italians were, I mean, they've already proven that it can infect and replicate in bacteria, meaning your gut bacteria, nasal bacteria. That's huge. So that's a reservoir for this thing. Even if your body can overcome it, it might take up residence in your gut and you could have it forever. And it will make you sick because it produces peptides that cause your blood to clot and your nerves to malfunction. So it's this stuff is ending up in wastewater systems. I mean, cities, municipalities can actually test for it and find it.
And it's being used on agricultural endeavors as well. Now they're liquefying human bodies, which will contain all of these things and more that we may not even have names for. And they're using that for agriculture. Many states.
I mean, how much, whether prions are being produced from this remains to be seen. I mean, there do appear to be people dying from some form of encephalopathy, spongiform encephalopathy, meaning prion disease.
By the way, I have a map up. If you look on the homepage, it's right at the beginning of the lower graphic section, and it shows the spread of chronic wasting disease in deer in the U.S. It shows where that disease is now being found, and it is apparently transmissible simply by consumption. Prions.
Yeah, because prions don't break down. They can be shed into the environment, into the soil, and then subsequently uptaken by a plant. And when that plant is eaten by a deer or cow, whatever, it can be viable. The cow can acquire a prion that way, and it will be viable and able to produce disease.
I think I also put it in the headlines. If you look for it, it should be there. But it's not a pretty sight. This is spreading throughout deer, and no one's checking other mammals, squirrels, raccoons. No one's checking for that. There's no reason to think that it's not also spreading throughout the mammalian community. Maybe it's in the insect community. I don't know. Do proteins stay away from insects? No, there's proteins in insects, right?
Yeah, I think with these prions, though, I mean, you really do have to acquire them through eating them, typically,
mm-hmm.
unless they form spontaneously within you.
Here's the problem. We're not being told anything.
Nothing.
That is meant to help us. Is that an overstatement?
No, they've lied from the get-go about what this is. There's no transparency in any of this. You know, they're hiding, they're coming up with bogus diagnoses, bogus tests. They're not allowing autopsies. They're giving inappropriate treatments. I mean, obfuscation of just everything that would be helpful is...
The obfuscation of everything that would be helpful. They're still using a test that they, the CDC, FDA, whomever, admit is useless. We knew this 2 years ago, the PCR test. They're still using it. Somebody goes in the hospital with the flu, which is running around now, and give us your view on what the flu may be like now. This is important because it seems to be a little different. They're trying to say that the people have COVID, but I don't believe it, and I don't think you do either.
Yeah, I
not
was
in
well,
every case.
There are people getting very, very sick right now and some needing hospitalization or oxygen treatment. And it does appear to be a respiratory issue. They're having trouble breathing. You might think it's flu because the symptoms do seem to be manifesting in the lungs. But the curious thing is that a number of these people are also having clotting issues, which is more associated with COVID or the SARS virus.
That's
so who knows?
News.
It could be some chimeric flu virus with coronavirus attributes.
Would you explain for our listeners who may not know the word chimera and chimeric, how would that work? Just give us a quick overview of how influenza A, shall we say, might become chimeric with portions of the vax. Whoops. They didn't like that, did they? All right, I'm assuming that I can still be heard. We'll get Erica right back. That's three times now. This is a big issue. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, that's three times. Right when we get to the critical part of what we were talking about, people don't know what chimera means. They don't. They don't know what chimeric means. Let's say somebody gets... Remember, 2 years ago, real quick, 50 million plus cases of flu in this country. Last year, allegedly in the winter, 2,000 cases. Where did the 50 million cases go?
Right.
They were still here last winter. They just renamed it COVID. That's how they did it. So we got flu now. And let's say, explain if you would, Erica, how influenza A might become a chimera in terms of picking up pieces of the kill shot.
So the flu virus is what's known as a segmented virus. So it has the portions of its genetic material in segments. And it has eight of them. The influenza virus has eight segments to its genome, and it can exchange these individual sequences or segments with other flu viruses and other segmented viruses. There's about five families of these segmented viruses. So each of these segments codes for a specific part of the virus. And if you're supplying, as with the mRNA and the COVID injections, a segment that codes for fusion protein, i.e. the spike protein, you're making that available at the same time you might be harboring a flu virus or just gotten a flu vaccine, then there's a good probability that some reassortment might take place where that flu virus can acquire the attribute, the fusion protein of the coronavirus, and morph into what they call a chimera. Chimera is something that has genes from two different organisms. And this exchange of genetic material is common with viruses and bacteria, and even a human host can pick up genes from a virus or a bacteria and integrate them in certain situations. But by giving people COVID vaccines and influenza vaccines in the same day, in the same arm, at the same time,
real smart.
That's almost asking for a reassortment recombination event to take place. Now, whether or not these things go on to become infectious and contagious, I don't know. It could. It certainly is more prone or apt to happen in somebody that's immune suppressed, such as all of these people who have gotten the vax, COVID vax. They're all immune suppressed.
Well, they're going to be immune without pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's imploding. And
yeah, it is.
Dr. Blalock just the other night explained on this program via video that they're going to see diseases. He implied there may be dozens of them, some of which don't even have names. Because when you have no immune system, the door is open.
And it's happening. It's happening quickly. I mean, these people, you know, within weeks of getting the vaccine, sometimes days, are manifesting reactivation of herpes viruses, shingles, herpes zoster, possibly the Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus. And now, here we are several months later, and they seem to be particularly susceptible to the RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, and now possibly influenza.
Not to mention a basket full of cancers, which are so volatile. Well, tell them about the leukemia and how quickly that's working now.
Yeah, there's been many cases reported of leukemias that either come out of remission and are so aggressive that the doctors don't even have time to put together a treatment protocol. These people die.
Some die within 2 weeks.
Or brand new ones, not just ones that come out of remission, but ones that are just spawn out of seemingly nowhere.
They're cancer-free. They get the shot. They're diagnosed a few days later with leukemia and dead 2 weeks later. This is no joke. And,
yep.
And the types of cancer, how many could there be? Dozens?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ryan Cole in Idaho there, Dr. Ryan Cole mentioned that in his pathology practice, endometrial cancer was up 20 times its normal rate.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, that's our program tonight. We'll be back Wednesday to do this again. A lot of information for you. Please listen to the program a couple times if you can. It'll be up on the homepage. Pass it around. Take from it what you'd like. Use it to make your decisions. That's what this freedom of the press is all about, freedom of speech. We're putting out the best we possibly can for you and trying to point out the absurdities that are being floated constantly at us on the Internet. Just silliness. And we have to be the ones to make the stand and say, no, it's not coming into my head. That's it. Done. Okay, Erica, thank you. Talk soon. Great job.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay,
good night.
Good night. And good night to all of you. Thanks for being here. We'll be back in 21 hours. Guy, I kind of like this expression. Take care, prepare, and beware. I've got to play that Bela Lugosi clip for you. I will. Talk to you tomorrow.